The New York Jets giveth, the New York Jets taketh away. This is the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast, looking back at week four, looking ahead to week five, recording on Monday, a little after 1 p.m. Eastern time. So adjust information accordingly as you need it based on when you listen to this podcast and when you are making your selections for week five NFL, first week with a bye. So less options out there. This also affects fantasy football on same and different platforms. Please find the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. Also, don't forget the Todd Wright Toddcast. It will have a lot of things in it, including my thoughts on Hurricane, its impact on Florida and the area in which I grew up, where my childhood homes were, with my grandparents who have since passed on and didn't have to experience any of that. All of that in the Todd Wright Toddcast on some of these same platforms, joebucksfan.com, and some different podcast platforms as well. Keeping busy with the three different podcasts throughout the football season. The Todd Wright Toddcast covers anything I want. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, ninth season covering fantasy football. And then this Survivor Podcast in season two. It is presented by Pin Chasers with four locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Visit pinchasers.net for lane reservations and for party planning purposes. Lots of specials. If you find them on Instagram, they will remind you of their specials almost daily and many unlimited bowling deals. It's Pin Chasers on Instagram or go to pinchasers.net for more info. And I thank Brandon Legal Group, who's also put together some prize baskets for my upcoming Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. Fortunately, not affected by the recent hurricane. The golf property in good condition, the clubhouse in good condition. My players have not reached out. They experienced any hardships and can't play, so we're going to try to have a good time and do our thing this upcoming Saturday at Plantation Palms Golf Club. And I thank Brandon Legal Group for supporting my golf tournaments as well as podcasts. Couple simple messages from Brandon Group, if you'll give me a minute, because they pay for this podcast, so you don't have to. They are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. What does full service mean? What do you think it means? If you have a legal need, why don't you reach out at 813-902-3576 for a free consult. Full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. And a specific area where they can help you is if you are a Florida resident and you continue to pay permanent alimony, because permanent alimony has not been law in the state of Florida since July 1st, 2023. Stop paying permanent alimony. Brandon Legal Group can help get you up to date with Florida law and alleviate or potentially eliminate your financial obligation to permanent alimony going forward. 813-902-3576, Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. My email for fantasy questions, football questions, survivor questions, pick questions, just pretty much anything involving football, is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. I'll always respond unless it's on a Sunday, and then I probably won't respond until Monday with everything that I have to do and everything going on. And this weekend, I have a golf tournament on Saturday. So if you do have something for me, try to email me before the weekend, by Friday-ish. So I can get to it, because I got a lot coming up with the golf tournament and with week five, college and pro football. By the time this posts, I may have already made my appearance. I'm very grateful that Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin are asking me on quite a bit this season to talk primarily fantasy football, but we're Survivor fans and just general football talk. I love that Gil and Kelly talk about awards and other football props on their show, A Numbers Game, which airs 10 a.m. to 12 noon time, 7 to 9 Pacific weekdays on VEASAN. I enjoy them very much, and we'll be making another appearance with them this week. They asked me last week. I couldn't do it for various reasons, the storm prep being one of them, but I look forward to my appearances with them. And I'm very thankful they are asking me on. Those appearances look like when they happen, they're going to be Tuesday around 11:15 a.m. Eastern time. And that could change, but just if you want to find me on Gil and Kelly's show, A Numbers Game on VSiN, looks like it's going to be every other week or so, Tuesdays in the 11 a.m. hour around that 11:15 a.m. Eastern time slot. So this year's been so interesting with Survivor, and I use Circa for some data, knowing many of you who listen to this didn't plop down $1,000 per entry to play in the Circa contest that's the biggest one out there that any of us know of and is legal with Survivor, that through 3 weeks had gotten down from, what, 14,000 or so to 642. And an exploration of the 642 remaining entries at Circa, which was roughly just under 5% of total entries, were remaining. And then last week we talked about how a pool I was in, and I went out with most people on Cincinnati in week one, of those near 500 entries, actually more like around 450, only 20 remain. The percentages were staggeringly similar, and Gil and I talked about this via text, how despite the monetary investment, despite the region of the pool, despite the size of the pool, the fact that both a pool I'm in that operates out of the southeast of the United States on a very small financial scale and with roughly 450 entries had pretty much the exact percentage remaining as a Circa Survivor pool for millions of dollars with thousands, tens of thousands, over 10,000 entries, just shows you how people see the game and how people make their picks. So I explored via Circa data what were the three most popular choices for the remaining entries through those that survived the first 3 weeks. And of the surviving entries in Circa, most had used the following three teams: Texans, Seahawks, Jets. And a majority of those that used the Jets used them successfully in week three in the Thursday night game where they blew out New England and sat very comfortably through the rest of that week where so many other entries went out. The intriguing part of all that to me is for those that didn't use the Jets week three to advance and then jumped on them week four against the Broncos to piggyback what the Jets had just did. And the Jets had extra rest, and the Broncos were no longer a desperate team off their win in Tampa Bay. Bo Nix still hadn't thrown a touchdown pass, and the Jets lose. Just like that. The Jets go from the team that got people, so many people, to week four to knocking them out of week four. This was more evident at Circa than in my pool, where only one of the remaining 20 took them, and they're out. There were two more that were out. Someone took Carolina. Wow, there's some game theory. But only one took the Jets, so that's 5%. At Circa, though, 17% had them of remaining entries. So 110 gone of the 642. And then you factor in other losers, and we're doing this before the two Monday night games are played. And I do see six Lions picks, but the Jets were the second popular choice in the circa pool, and the Jets eliminate 17% of the remaining entries in week four. The 49ers were the biggest play at over 43%, and the Niners win and advance. So I would imagine in the adjusted available numbers now, so the cards will be reflective of in week five, a majority of those entries won't have all or any combination of Jets, Texans, Seahawks, and 49ers remaining as we look ahead to week five. But just shows you gotta be in at the right time on a certain team, right? Does it make sense that the Jets blew out New England and then with extra rest in a home game fall because of lack of offense? Denver's defense is doing some great things. That's Vance Joseph doing Vance Joseph things. Say what you want about Vance Joseph as a head coach, but he's a damn fine defensive coordinator. And Surtain, obviously a star player who can line up opposite a big-time wide receiver and eliminate that receiver's impact on a football game. So Jets take out a pretty good chunk in the circa, not in my pool, where now they're down to 17 of 20. So 15%, is that 15%? Yeah, 15% went out last week. At circa, I think it's a little more. It actually might be right around the same number when you add everything up. I think circa is a little bit more. But let's look at week five, knowing there are some buys out there, and keeping in mind, based on the circa data, for a majority of successful players to this point, they don't have now. Niners were a big pick, by the way, in my pool. 7 out of 20 had them. So they were number one in my pool, smaller, and the circa pool as well. So let's get right to it. Let's take a look at some things. Thank you, Patrick Everson. Great Twitter X feed. Terrific guy. As much as he knows about sports betting and people in Vegas, he knows more about pop culture. Can't wait to meet him one day. So NFL odds week five, go to the column at VegasInsider.com, headlined NFL odds week five, line spreads, betting trends for every game. It's done weekly, updated regularly by Patrick Everson of VegasInsider.com. The Thursday game this week is Falcons-Buccaneers. As of our broadcast now for this podcast, Monday afternoon in the 1 o'clock Eastern hour, we show the Falcons as a 2-point home favorite against the Buccaneers. Yeah, because they do these. Vegas Insider lists the home team first. I just want to confirm this. Make sure that that's the case. Falcons schedule. Yes. Home game for Atlanta against the Bucs. The Falcons, basically, because it's a home game, they are giving two, but it's viewed as a very even game here. And we may be looking at quite a competitive division in the NFC South this year, because through 4 weeks, the Saints jumped out early. The Falcons are capable. I still think the Bucs are the best team, and the Bucs are coming off a nice bounce-back win against an Eagle team that was very damaged from a vertical standpoint without their two top pass catchers. But Falcons favored in this game as a minus 135 money line. I like the Bucs in this game, especially as a road dog. Granted, let's see, did the Bucs do better getting at the quarterback? I'm sorry, I had a lot going. I've had a lot going. So I just want to look at the Bucs box score against the Eagles, because in the previous two Buccaneer games, they were outsacked 12-0 by the Lions and the Broncos. In the Eagles game, the Bucs had six sacks and only gave up two. So nice correction there, and a necessary one for the Bucs, dealing with some injuries on the line, but can't use that as an excuse. Got to do some things. So I would like the Bucs in the game. I don't anticipate this is a top three or five survivor play either way. We get to Sunday action, and we have an early game internationally. I believe it's in London. So you have roll out of bed. You got a game that morning with Vikings, Jets, no true home team in this game. The Vikings are a 2.5-point favorite and undefeated. Sam Darnold revenge game, if you will. Aaron Rodgers going up against the team that he has a lot of knowledge of from his Packers days, but the Vikings look appropriate to me, are a modest favorite in this game. I see it as a minus 148 money line as we speak right now on VegasInsider.com. You know, this being a consideration, because the Vikings are going to finally start getting people's attention. And sure, they're not going to go 17-0. And the Jets aren't as bad as they played against the Broncos. But when you factor in what Sam Darnold is doing, what Justin Jefferson is doing, what the Vikings are doing defensively with Brian Flores and their schemes, Garrett Wilson off to a slow start, Breece Hall, I'm not surprised by his slow yards per carry start and his two failed attempts on the goal line in the Denver game. So I could see people playing the Vikings here in week five. I don't know that it will be an overwhelming play, and I don't know how early they're traveling to London as opposed to the Jets, but I could see people playing the Vikings because you got an unbeaten team available for you this week and no true home game factor against you. Back to the States, Bears will host Carolina. Carolina has shown to be much more competitive. The anti-Carolina play, some did have Cincinnati at circa, ironically, because Cincinnati had taken out so many people in week one and week three, but they were the third most popular play in week four. This is amazing to me. Just the fingerprints on the Bengals in Survivor through the first 4 weeks of the season. They take out the most entries in week one, really the only favorite that lost week one of any significance. They take out the most people in week three, and then they're the third biggest choice in week four that people had the guts to go to them on the road at Carolina, and Carolina actually showed they were capable with Andy Dalton as quarterback. Wow. So a lot going on there. Bears coming off a win against the Rams. These are two teams. So I don't have a strong vibe either way. I think the Bears is a minus 185 money line. Seems really generous. I wouldn't go that far here. Because I still have my doubts about the coaching in Chicago. They're just a lot of ghosts and a lot of history. And we're not giving up on Caleb. But Caleb hasn't come in and done things immediately like Jaden Daniels has. Hopefully he does it eventually. Bengals at home against Ravens. Well, I think it's fair to say, even though the Bengals were one of the higher profile plays in week one, week three, and week four, they won't be this week, especially off the Ravens just punching the undefeated Bills in the face early with that Derrick Henry run. And It is so interesting to me how the last 3 weeks, Josh Allen hasn't played a full game. Twice because they've been up so much, and then once because they were down so much. As a result of the Ravens. Ravens are a 2.5-point road dog at Cincinnati, a -155 money line. I would imagine people will stay away from this game on both sides. I don't see it being a very popular survivor play. It also isn't a 5-plus-point division game, which, as Gil has reminded us for the last 20 years, has been a green light in survivor as a win play. Texans at home catching a point early in the action, a -102 money line. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Texans are catching a point. Bills slightly favored. This, I guess you would call it a Stephon Diggs revenge game. Bills will be very motivated off their first loss. Texans are good. Dare I say this could be an AFC conference title game playoff preview or an AFC playoff game preview. These are two really good teams. So I would stay away from this game for survivor purposes because I see two playoff teams. And obviously Vegas sees it as an even game with a point as we speak now with the Bills favored. Jaguars, what a mess. Doug Peterson reacted that he was surprised. He was asked about his job status. He shouldn't be. The Jaguars are in a horrible state right now. Keep checking status on Taylor and Richardson. Again, I'm doing this very early on Monday. You got a lot of reasons to play the Colts here. I know the Jags are a desperate team. The line, I think Flacco is better for the Colts these days than Richardson. And I've said that on my fantasy podcast for a while as well. So I would expect this line to move. The Jags are an early favorite, and I don't get it. And I understand Taylor is injured, but the Colts are a better team, and the Jags right now don't seem like they know how to win football games with this coach and maybe this quarterback. So I expect some plays on the Colts this week, and I would be looking at them as well. Patriots at home against Dolphins. We haven't seen what the Tyler Huntley show is like because I'm doing this before the Monday night games are played. Patriots have obviously regressed from their opening win against Cincinnati, being competitive against Seattle week two. But the Dolphins need to show something without Tua at quarterback. So we kind of wait and see there. I don't see much survivor play there unless some dynamic changes with the Dolphins positively in the Monday night game or before we get to Sunday at New England. Commanders, they're going to get some action this week, aren't they? Look, I'm on board with Jaden Daniels in one of my fantasy leagues. I patiently waited and waited and waited and waited, and I haven't done this in a long time in fantasy football to take my quarterback. But I waited, and I took Jaden Daniels late, and he's been terrific. Early favorite for rookie of the year, off another victory on the road at Arizona, hosting a Browns team that honestly may have one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. Yeah. What the hell is Deshaun Watson doing to help the Browns win right now? So, Commanders will be a play this week. And the fact that I see them only laying 3 against Cleveland early in the week is a -162 money line. Give me some of that. Yep. Broncos, Raiders. Broncos off two wins. Give the Broncos credit for how they handled travel on this trip. They fly to Florida, play the Bucs. Then the plans were in advance, even though they beat the Bucs. Then they go to the Greenbrier in West Virginia. They spend the week there rather than going back to Colorado. Then go to New Jersey and beat the Jets before going home. So that's well done. So that organization, whether that's Sean Payton or whoever, gets credit. Walmart calling in a favor with Mr. Jeffries in West Virginia, whatever. That worked. There was some travel there, but it wasn't fly to Florida, fly back to Denver, fly to New Jersey, fly. They made it better. They got away from the team facility for a week. Kept their season alive. And now they're at home against the Raiders, who are all over the place. Broncos favored -142 money line. I don't see much survivor action either way here. 49ers, biggest play in week four for most people. So not available. Could we have another Jets situation here? And with the Niners, they got Debo back. They got Kittle back. They had Trent Williams. All that stuff was in play. Note Juwan Jennings still was involved. There was a reason they gave that guy a two-year contract extension going. Niners at home against Cardinals. Cardinals lay a big egg at home against Washington last week. Could Niners be the same trap as the Jets, where the people that didn't use the Niners in week four say, well, yeah, I'm going to use them this week, I'll be fine. Let's be careful, because it's the biggest spread of the week. Niners at home against Cardinals, -355 money line. But for those that didn't play Niners week four, there will be a good percentage on them in week five. And they're just hoping for a different result than those who played the Jets week four that didn't play them in week three. Rams, home underdog, +160 against Packers, who get Jordan Love back. Vikings get out big early and hold on against Green Bay. Green Bay road favorite at the Rams. Rams have all sorts of issues that they're working through. That'd be a dangerous place to play Green Bay. I'm sure some people will. But I remind you, the Rams beat the Niners just a little over a week ago. And despite not having Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua or Aaron Donald or their leading tackler from last year and a ton of injuries. Seahawks at home on a short week against the Giants, who had extra time to prepare. Giants, though, traveling cross-country. Seahawks a -250 money line. Got to see what the Seahawks do against the Lions, but I'm sure, again, Seattle was used by, for a number of people that are still available in Survivor Leagues, a good percentage have already used Seattle. But those who didn't may use them against the Giants, pending the Monday night result and any injuries or the optics of that game. Steelers at home against Cowboys. I would imagine the Steelers will get some action this week. They open as a -135 money line off their first loss of the season, only lose by three. Keep an eye on who's playing quarterback now that the game. Would Tomlin make a change if Russell Wilson is healthy? Cowboys will not have Lawrence, may not have Parsons. Interesting here, it's just sort of a historical note. Mike Tomlin has only lost to one rookie quarterback in a home game since he became head coach of the Steelers. That was to Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. So this, he'll never admit it. This is a bit of a revenge game for Mike Tomlin. Years later, I love the Steelers in this spot against Dallas. And the Dallas is a very one-dimensional team, which plays to Mike Tomlin's defensive strengths. I still will not forget anytime soon that Dallas took Taco Charlton while TJ Watt was still available. Dallas took a pass-rushing Big Ten defensive prospect and took the wrong one. And finally, Chiefs host Saints. Chiefs a minus 230 money line. Sure, the Chiefs look like the better team. But in all their games, right, who they beat in week three? And now they're without Rashee Rice. Quick thought on that. You've already seen what the Chiefs will do without Rice. It's put Travis Kelce back in his traditional spot. If you haven't been paying attention, early this year, Matthew Berry brought this up a number of times. Rashee Rice this year, prior to his injury, was running the Travis Kelce routes, which is why Rice was so prolific and Kelce was not. Once Rice went out of the Charger game, Kelce's involvement went up because I'm guessing Kelce's now going to be running traditional Kelce routes with no Rice available. So that's the adjustment for KC. I would like him in this spot. And I think they'll get some survivor play. Now, granted, at Circa, some are saving them for Thanksgiving or Christmas if we get that far. So to recap, what do I think will be the top survivor plays this week? I think we'll see some Vikings action in the morning game on Sunday. I think we'll see some Colts action on the road at Jacksonville. We will see some Jaden Daniels love for Washington at home against the Browns. We'll see those that didn't use the Niners week four, a percentage use them week five against the Cardinals. We'll see some use the Seahawks that didn't use them in the first against the Giants. I think the Steelers could be in there at home against the Cowboys, and the Chiefs could be in there for those that don't have to save them. Just my thoughts. What are yours? Wright.Todd@Yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@Yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Pin Chasers and Brandon Legal Group. Talk to you next week.